You may be seated. I want to make a couple of quick announcements this morning. Number one, we're here for you. We're going to talk about this every week for quite some time. I had an experience. You know how sometimes you'll have an experience and it marks you? It really imprints your heart and your mind. I had the wonderful yet unfortunate experience of having a meeting with someone who's dear to me, a couple in this church, who came to me, and they had some questions about what goes on in the church and how things have happened, and they let me know that they had been somehow afraid to talk to me about those things, and they held those questions for 2 years, and I want you to know that broke my heart. And I don't ever want to be that kind of leader, and I don't ever want to be on that kind of team that people are afraid to come to ask questions, to open their hearts. There are no bad questions. In fact, some people get the idea that it's dishonoring to ask questions about what goes on here. Listen, this isn't my church. This isn't your church. This is Jesus' church. And we're all stewards here together. And you have the right and the responsibility to know what's going on in this church. If you have any questions about leadership, about anything, our doors are open. I want you to know we have a wonderful staff. There's about 20 of us, full-time, part-time staff. The only reason we work here is to serve you, to honor God, but to serve you. And so I want you to know we're here for you. We love you. A lot of times people say, Pastor Brad, I mean, I hear this more than I can. I don't know if I project this, but they'll call me and say, I know you're too busy to meet with me. I'm like, no, I'm not. And if in any way our leadership team has communicated that we're too busy for you, would you please forgive us? We are not too busy for you. We are here for you. We want to talk to you. We want to meet with you. You can set up appointments or you can trip us on the way out the door. And when we get up off the ground, we'll say, we're here for you. So whatever it takes, we want you to know we love you. And we have every intention to be the kind of people that are open, honest, transparent, and living life together. And so I just want you to know that. And I hope that you can pray with us that if there's anybody out there who's not feeling the freedom or the liberty or the confidence to talk to leaders about something going on in their life, we want to be here for you. All right, so now I want to say something. We're talking about making this into a commercial, but right now you're just going to have to get it live. And it would go something like this. Ba-da-da! What's Pastor Brad excited about this week? And I think Kirby would probably do a better job of editing that if I did a few takes. But here's what I'm excited about this week. I want you to know Amy Steven. Is Amy in here? Amy, stand up. Y'all give Amy a round of applause. I'm excited about Amy Stevens. Look, she is the most brilliant leader on this staff. She works intricately with over 200 volunteers and a full staff of people on Wednesday nights. And I never hear a cross word about this woman. She's an amazing woman of God, and she loves our kids with all of her heart. And her whole desire in her job and in the way she leads is that these little ones would know who they are in Christ from the time they're this big. And they get it so that when they're big like us, they're not struggling with the same things that we are. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? And I know there's so many of you in this church that are a part of that. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I personally think we have the best kids ministry in West Texas. And I mean, I don't know how you can figure that. I just know it's true. And all of you, so many of you work in Kids City. You volunteer, you help. I'll thank you for that. You should pat yourself on the back and say, good job, because our kids are being blessed and ministered to and trained in the ways of the Lord. And here's one big change that we've made recently. We decided this semester to go to a full staff on Wednesday nights. So we have a full paid staff on Wednesday nights to serve your kids. And one of the primary reasons we did that was so that when those young kids walk into their classroom every Wednesday, they see a familiar face, and they are able to start building relationships with their teachers. And I've heard nothing but positive comments from parents, from teachers, and the whole group back there. Parents are talking to me about, man, my kid's excited about Wednesday night Kids City. And guess what? We also made two upgrades. If you ever spent any time in the Kids Depot, which is the kids' auditorium in the back, it was echoing. You couldn't hear anything. I was appalled. Y'all are so patient. I'm never in there. I finally caught wind of how bad it was. We got it fixed. We put in new sound panels in the ceiling and on the sides, and now it doesn't echo back there, so actually you can say something and the kids can understand what you're saying. It is amazing that anybody got ministered to the whole time. We got that fixed, and then we also bought this cool light show machine. So when worship kicks off in Kid City, I don't know if Sunday morning, but on Wednesday nights, it's like, woo, baby. Look at that. No, I wish I was back there. Because those kids are having a blast, and they're not just having fun, they're meeting with God. And Amy and the Kid City team do such a fantastic job of making the gospel and the scripture relevant to our children. So God, I want to thank you for this group of people. I want to thank you, God, that my kids were raised in Kid City and they're better for it. And all the parents in here who have confidence that when they drop their kids off in our Kid City ministry, God, they're not just going to be taken care of, which we're grateful for that. They're going to be ministered to. There's going to be a deposit of the truth of the scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit and a revelation of who Jesus is every time these kids step into Kid City ministry. And we want to give you thanks for that, God. And we want to honor you and give you glory and ask you to pour out a special blessing upon Amy Stevens and the whole Kid City team. If you agree with me, church, just say amen. Amen. All right. We're going to jump back into our series. Yeah, resurrection life. Let's talk about the word resurrection. What does that mean? That means to come back from the dead. Look it up in Webster's Dictionary. It means something is dead and it comes back to life. And even in Webster's Dictionary, they refer to Jesus Christ, the most famous resurrection of all time. You know why? Because it's the most powerful impact. There are other people who've been raised from the dead. You may or may not believe that, but if you ever met one and they told you their story, you would believe it's true. But we know that Jesus is the most powerful resurrection that ever took place. And the book of Romans tells us this incredible truth. The same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Let's take those last three words and instead of lives in you, say lives in me. Would you say it with me? Lives in me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That Jesus wasn't just dead, he was doubly dead. He was quadruply 100 times dead. You know why? Because he took the sin and the guilt and the shame of all of mankind from beginning to end. It was laid upon his back. He was beaten, he was bruised, and the physical manifestation of that was nothing compared to the spiritual ramifications of that. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus was more dead than anyone who ever gone into that tomb. But death couldn't hold him. Because the Spirit of God raised him from the dead. Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. He came to the earth. He died a sinner's death, but he never sinned. He lived perfectly. When he was on this earth, church, you have to understand he was fully man. He was only able to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Spirit in Mary's womb. I don't know if you know this, and I don't have time to preach this message, but you can see clearly in Scripture that Jesus existed before the time of earth began. It said, in the beginning, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father were hovering in the beginning. And we know that Jesus had a place of authority and power in the kingdom of God, and he voluntarily gave up his power, gave up his godhood, so to speak, and came to the earth and lived as a man, a sinless, perfect life. And why did he do that? Because he knew that you and I needed to be rescued. He knew that the only way to rescue us was to come and to live life just like we did, yet do it without sin through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then to take sin upon his body, spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every way. He took on the death of sin. The Bible says when the stripes were laid upon his back, he brought healing to every disease. The Bible says that when the blood was shed, he released forgiveness for every sin that's ever been committed. Wow. And he did that for you. And he did that for me. You know, these movies we see of Jesus being crucified, they're graphic and they're totally hard to watch, but that is nothing compared to what really happened. In the book of Isaiah, it prophesies and says he was unrecognizable as a man. He was beaten so severely. He was so taken down to death that you couldn't even recognize who he was. He shed his precious, perfect blood for you and me, and he did it joyfully and willingly because he wanted you and he wanted me to be able to receive what only he could purchase with his life, his death, and his resurrection. Last week we talked about how that death and resurrection gave us victory. We said I can live victoriously in Christ. And today we're going to talk about how it is finished. John 19, verse 28. This is Jesus while he is literally hanging on the cross. He utters these words. Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, "I am thirsty." And a jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Verse 30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, and if you read this in the book of Matthew, it says it like this. It says, he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished!" And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. What was finished? Your salvation, your forgiveness, your healing, your destiny in the kingdom of God. You no longer have to be separate from God the Father. You can be reunited. Amen. Not because of anything we've done, church. Not because of any works that we do. Simply by faith. We believe in what Jesus accomplished and we receive forgiveness. We receive the blessing. We receive what the Bible calls eternal life. So at this point when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, he knew that he would rise from the dead on the third day. He knew that through his life, his death, his resurrection, and when he finally ascends into heaven, that he would fully and completely complete the work that God sent him here to do. He knew that everything necessary to redeem mankind and reconcile us back to our Father in heaven was done. So he yelled out, it looks like to us, "What? You're not done yet. If you're in the middle of this crucifixion, you haven't even been taken off the cross, you haven't even died yet." He prophetically spoke what he knew would happen in 3 days. "It is finished." And he went, "Phew." Did you know, normally when a person died on the cross, they didn't die from bleeding out. They died from suffocation because they had to push themselves up, take a breath, and they would just get exhausted. And a lot of times the Romans were so impatient, they didn't want to wait, so they would take a big rod and break their legs so they couldn't push up anymore. But the prophecy of Jesus was true. No bone was broken because he gave up his spirit. They didn't take his life. He gave it away. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. And the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the pain and the shame and the utter humiliation of the cross. He endured it for the joy. Do you know what the joy was, church? You and me. He could see your face and it motivated him to finish the work that God had called him to do. He could see your life and the blessing that was going to come to you, and he said, "I will endure, and I will not only endure with joy, I will endure." What a great God we have. All other gods on the earth, all other religions point us to a God who wants to punish and we have to somehow please. And our God came to us and took the punishment we deserve. Yeah. We have the true living God, Jesus Christ. He doesn't require anything of us except to believe in what he accomplished. All other religions on the face of the earth ask you to work hard to please God. Jesus said, "I did it for you." Will you just simply believe by faith? Hebrews 10, verse 12 and 14 say this: after Christ had offered one sacrifice for sin, that's dying on the cross, forever he sat down at the right side of God with one sacrifice. He made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I bet you none of you today feel like you're perfect. And I know none of us are perfect in our actions and all of our choices, but I'm telling you, you're perfect before God today, church. The Bible is true. He completely made you perfect in the sight of God. You are righteous before the holy God of heaven, and you can converse with him, and you can live life with him, and you can receive all the blessing of heaven because Jesus made you holy. He made you perfect. So once and for all, it is finished. Many times, church, we only focus on what we're saved from. And that's important. We're saved from death. We're saved from sin. We're saved from eternal damnation and hell. We're saved from punishment. We're saved from the lies of Satan. But what are we saved to? Have you ever thought about it? I know I'm saved from sin. Most little children can come out of Kid City and say, Jesus died on the cross to take away my sin. I know I memorized that as a child, but I was not aware fully of what I was saved to. I know what I was saved from, but what am I saved to? See, that begins to breathe vision and destiny and purpose. So let's look at this word salvation. It's so much more than one little thought. It's a huge, all-encompassing thought. The word salvation is sozo in the Greek, and it means forgiven, healed, delivered, blessed, prospered, protected, made whole, set apart, etc., etc. This is just the beginning of the list. Would you stop for a minute? Look at these words. Salvation doesn't just forgive me, salvation heals me. Doesn't just heal me, delivers me from darkness. Doesn't just deliver me, but blesses me. Doesn't just bless me, prospers my life. I'm protected, I'm made whole. How many Christians today walk around saying, I just don't feel complete. I'm overwhelmed with my life. There's just something still missing. I mean, I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people who are supposed to know this Jesus. I believe the enemy sows lies and deceit and still tries to overrun your mind and your thoughts and your emotions with negativity. The Bible says in the book of Romans clearly, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The truth is the truth, but you've got to receive that and be in a constant interaction with the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why prayer is so important. That's why fellowship with right believers is so important. That's why worship and receiving the Word of God and studying the Scripture for yourself. That's why all these things are so important, because they begin to push back the darkness so that the light of the gospel become manifest in your real life. It stops being just I kind of feel good at church on Sunday. You start feeling good on Monday. And sometimes even by Friday, I'm still feeling good. Why? Because this salvation is renewing my mind. And I'm starting to believe on Saturday morning, I'm blessed. On Thursday night, I'm forgiven. On Wednesday, I'm protected and made whole. Come on, church. This isn't just a Sunday morning. I feel good. I like coming here because I feel better. That's wonderful. But what if you lived in it? What if you walked in it? What if you, like, were happy with yourself for real? Too many Christians are depressed. Too many Christians are overwhelmed. Too many Christians don't feel whole. But the truth is you can be made whole. You can feel competent and confident in your life. You don't have to be overwhelmed. Whew, the possibilities are great. So I want to take just a few minutes here and talk about what we've been saved to. Now here's how the rest of the message is going to go. I'm going to read a scripture, and then it's going to have this flash on the screen. It's going to say, "It is finished," and a little phrase. And we're just going to go for it, man. I need full audience participation. Can you help me out this morning? You're going to preach the sermon with me. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Look at this. Say it with me. "It is finished. In Christ, I'm a new creation." Woo! We got a room full of preachers today. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so we might become the righteousness of God in him." Ready? "It is finished. In Christ, I am the righteousness of God." Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." Here, you ready? "It is finished. In Christ, I have peace with God." Are you starting to feel it, church? Ooh, I see a preacher rising. Come on. Some of you are about to stand up and shout hallelujah. Can you feel it coming? Colossians 1:20. "And through Christ, God has brought all things back to himself again. Things on earth and things in heaven. God made peace through the blood of Christ's death on the cross." You ready? "It is finished. In Christ, I have peace with God." Galatians 4:4-7. "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he, Jesus, could adopt us. God, our Father, could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.'" Guys, you got to stop and look at this. We go from, "Oh, holy God, we revere you in heaven, you great and awesome almighty being," to, "Daddy, I love you. Daddy, thank you for providing for me. Daddy, you're my father." Changes everything. You don't have to treat God like he's some stoic, angry king in heaven. He's your daddy. Who's your daddy? God Almighty. Woo! Holy Ghost power. It's the Spirit of his Son. Inside, can you imagine that Jesus had no problem saying, "Daddy, I love you. Daddy, you're just like Jesus now." The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that was in the Son of God that said, "Daddy, I trust you. I know now it is finished." The same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ is in you. The only question this morning, it's not whether the Spirit of God is in you. It's whether you believe he's in you. It's whether you'll receive what he has to give. That you'll take it to heart and breathe it in. Holy Ghost, let me cry out, "Father, Daddy, oh, I believe you've got my life planned out. I believe that I'm whole and restored. I believe that even if my circumstances look terrible and I'm confused, my God will make a way. God is my daddy." Oh, there's people all over the place that would say, "Oh, that's sacrilegious. You're preaching heresy." I'm not preaching. I'm preaching the Bible. The heresy is that God is distant. The untruth is that God doesn't care. The truth of this word is, "I am your daddy. Come to me, my children. Embrace me. Believe in me." My kids don't have any problem coming to me and asking for anything they want. They're not even worried if they just messed up 5 minutes earlier. Oh, they could have made me angry. They could have disobeyed the rule. They don't care. "Hey, Daddy, hey, I need the keys, man, and about $100 so I can go party with my friends." Okay. But I don't just aimlessly do that. to them because they're my kids. They cannot make me too angry to love them. And I'm just little old me in an earth suit. What about God? What about the Father? You think you can make him mad at you? No, you can't. You think you can do something so heinous that he won't love you and embrace you? No, you can't. Now, the same apostle Paul, who wrote Galatians, also said this: where sin abounds, grace abounds. So should I sin more? Heavens no. He would say to you in West Texas English, that's goofy. So we're not looking to try to fail so that we can have more God. No, we have all of God right here, right now. And the more you believe it, the more you receive it, the more your behavior will change. Too many Christians today, church, are into behavior modification rather than believing and receiving the love of the Father. The only thing that's going to change your mind and change your behavior is that you love your daddy so much, and he's filled you up so much that you just don't want to do that stuff anymore. You ain't ever going to do behavior modification. It don't work. You ever put one of them rubber bands on you? Say, I'm going to change a habit. Every time I bite my nails, I'm going to pop my wrist. Do you know what? That did not work for me. I just had a big whelp on my wrist and still, I never stopped. You hear what I'm saying? We have weird ways of trying to be godly. Here's the way. I believe God loves me. I believe he's in me. I believe he's changing me. I believe I'm whole. I believe I'm protected. I believe I'm blessed. So let's pick up the scripture where we left off here. Verse 6, and we are his children. God sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Daddy, Abba, Father. Now you're no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Have you ever read Psalm 24? It says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. What do you need today? It's already there. Did you see what he said? You are made heir to everything that Daddy owns. And Psalm 24 says, Daddy owns everything. Do you have a need today, church? It's already provided for. He said, oh, I've tried that before, Pastor. I've been to that church that said, name it and claim it and hallelujah, you know. And I never got my Cadillac. I don't guess you needed it. I'm talking about, what do you need? The Bible says in the book of Philippians, he will supply your every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Man, I've never gone without. Have I gotten everything I wanted? No. But have I ever been in need? Yes, but those needs get filled because I'm a child of the Father. Oh, if you listen to the world, you'll think you need a lot of things you don't need. But listen to me, church. You own everything. And it is all accessible to you. As soon as you need it, God will release it to you. It is finished. Okay, let's do this. Time to preach again. You ready? It is finished. In Christ, I am a child of God. Stand with me, church. Here's how we're going to end this service right here and right now. It is finished. In Christ, I'm a new creation. In Christ, I'm the righteousness of God. In Christ, I have peace with God. In Christ, I'm a child of God. Look at these words. These things are true. Are you experiencing this freedom? Are you experiencing this love? Are you at peace? Come on, you can be honest here. You don't have to pretend and put on your, oh, brother, I'm blessed. and you get a little change your breath. I mean, you don't have to do that here. You can just be real. You can say, I want to believe it. I think I believe it. I'm just not there yet. That's okay. I'd venture to say that's the truth for most of us in a lot of these things. You know, we have these booklets. You're free to take one at the back table or at the Connection Center. Who I Am in Christ has over 60 scriptures that say things just like this that are true about you. Now, here's the invitation today. In just a minute, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come right here. And I'm going to tell you what, these are the best people in the world. They're people who pray all week long just for an opportunity to let the goodness flow out to you right here. I'm telling you, church, miracles happen at this altar. It's not because it's a special place. It's because we set our desire in agreement with Jesus, and he releases his goodness through this. We're about to have that moment. You may be out there saying, I want to believe, but I'm in debt and I can't seem to get out. I have broken relationships. I feel so exposed and overwhelmed. Life is not going the way I want it. Then you need to come. You need to come right here in just a minute and let someone pray with you. And God will meet you there. The Lord wants to give you peace. He wants to affirm that you're his son or daughter. He wants to break the lies that the enemy tries to put in your mind. And he wants to establish a whole new way of life for you. Will you bow your heads with me? And as we bow, I'm going to ask our prayer team just to come and get ready. Now, don't lose me here. We're about to pray a very important prayer. God, as I pray, and all these people in this room pray in agreement with me, I believe you gave me a word this morning that you are going to break the power of deception, and darkness is going to leave people's hearts and minds today. For believers, for unbelievers, God, the enemy has tried to come and cripple your church, and today there's going to be a powerful encounter, I believe, to set us free. To believe everything we just talked about in this sermon. We're righteous, we're blessed, we're new creations, we're at peace with God, we're children who are provided for. God, I ask that you would just blanket over us your precious Holy Spirit right now. Your peace, I just believe peace is flooding into chaos and dispelling the darkness. I believe that your peace is filling up those who are depressed and overwhelmed. And literally, God, I believe you're changing physical components of our minds and our hearts, that we can think new thoughts, that we can believe new beliefs, that we can truly take these things that we may have quoted for years and years, God. But today, I declare those truths become real. Oh, some people in this room, I'm telling you, I know by the Spirit of God right now, somebody in this room, you've been longing for this moment. You've been crying out to God saying, I want this truth. I've been reading who I am in Christ for 6 years. Today is your day. All those who can believe it with me, just raise your hands to heaven. And just say in your own words, God, we receive the power to break the lies today. Just tell the Lord in your own words. We are doing battle on behalf of those who can't even pray right now. Lord, we receive the light to dispel the darkness. Oh, Lord, I see these hands lifted and I see your Holy Spirit moving, delivering us today. I just want to thank you, God. Jesus, you are so good. Abba, Daddy. Love on your kids this morning. As we sing this song, I want to ask you just to stay right where you are until the Spirit moves you. If you want to come receive prayer, you can come now. But don't leave this room, please. Let's stay in here and let's believe together until this song is done. Let's believe for miracles. Can you do that with me, church? We're just going to worship together and believe that the darkness is going to leave and Jesus is going to be exalted in this place.
Hosanna, Hosanna.